Boy, a pleasure being back with you. Paul White joins us, a national baseball expert. And Paul is with us all season long and especially on the holiday weekends as we catch up with Paul. And good morning, good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
Doing great, guys.
Yeah, good to have you on with us. Paul, first of all, Giants, Dodgers, an opener today. Leon is going against Walker Buehler. And you're back east. You know, what does this series look like to you, Giants-Dodgers?
You know, it's basically a standoff. I mean, you know, you watch the two games the last couple of nights. It's still striking to me that, you know, every night in a series like this, we're getting an opener. You know, that speaks so much to what's happened to this game in the last few years. It's we just kind of shrug it off. Yeah, okay, that's fine. And line up the pitchers, and here we go. You know, the Dodgers, even more so than the Giants, it's like a revolving door of guys in their bullpen. You know, every couple of days there's another guy that, oh, he's still active? How about that? You know, I think what we've got here, you know, you think these head-to-head series are going to decide a race? Probably not. These teams have matched up so well all season, it's going to probably remain that way. And what's going to determine this is how they do again with the rest of their schedule in the next 4 weeks.
Pointing how the schedule of Magers made this, and you know, this is the last game the Dodgers and the Giants play, and there's 25 games left in the season. Now it's a scoreboard watch with both these teams. What do you think of the schedule, and why didn't they make this last three games the last couple of weeks of the year?
Because nobody in the world thought the Giants would be in this thing at this point. really, let's go back to March, you know? I mean, come on, you guys are as pro-Giants as you can get. And, like, did you really believe it? I know, I remember Marty before opening day saying, yeah, this team's got some possibilities. And that was true, but we forget what the expectations were. This schedule was made last summer. You know, so and the Giants were hardly a factor in people's minds at that point, and I think that's what's gone ahead and happened. Because I was looking at schedules for some of the other contenders and the wild card races and stuff, and there is a lot of great interdivisional or intradivisional play over the last month of the season with some great matchups. It's just a matter of what people expected was probably going to be the case as we got into September.
Yeah, I think I predicted 80 wins. I said 80 and 82. And I think some – Bill, did we do this? Did we predict wins?
Yeah,
did you say? I forgot.
I had 84 because I went over a little bit.
That's
I said,
right.
A little
right.
bit over than 500, but we never expected this. No doubt
right.
about it, Paul.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the case, and which is great. But it is going to come down to how you fare against the rest of these teams. And now we're at that point. It really does make sense to look at schedules because, I mean, obviously there's no guarantees, but, you know, the teams that can beat up on the bad teams are going to be the ones that succeed.
You know, it's funny, though, how openers are like, you know, that's just the way that it works right now. And you've got Tampa Bay. All right, but that's what they do. They go into spring training knowing that's what they're going to do. And now you get the Giants-Dodgers. Both have two open spots in the rotation where they've got to use openers. I think that's a first for me.
Yeah, I agree. But again, you know, you talk about Tampa Bay, but you talk about the lineage of the people running these teams right now. You know, Andrew Friedman with the Dodgers brought that Tampa Bay mentality there. You just never thought it would come to that on a team with the financial ability that the Dodgers have. But you put Kershaw on the IL, you take Trevor Bauer out of the mix, and all of a sudden you're in this situation. And you know, Gabe Kapler comes from that kind of thought process in the back. So does Farhan. So you know, we've got, even though these aren't franchises that you connect to that strategy, the people in charge get it. They've been there. They know how to do it. They know how it works. So it's probably not that surprising when you think about it.
You know, Paul, you talk about schedules and looking at this National League East. Everybody came through the NL West except for Atlanta. And what happens with Atlanta? They come and play San Francisco. They play Los Angeles. They go to Colorado. And next thing you know, the National League East now is wide open because Philadelphia got hot. The Mets are starting to play better. What do you think the NL East is going to happen here in the next 25 games? What do you see?
That's the one that's wide open. That's the one where it's probably going to look more like which team is trying less to lose this thing, because those teams frustrate their fans and themselves to a great extent. You know, the Mets and the Braves especially have been thinned out on pitching. Obviously, the loss of DeGrom for the Mets is just monstrous. The Braves have gone all through the season with all kinds of pitching injuries, not to mention Acuna and other key guys offensively. So, you know, those are flawed teams. And that's why you look at the standings. That's why the records in that division are so much worse than other division leaders. So I think you're going to see a lot of that, a lot of frustration, like, oh, my goodness, how did we lose that game, kind of things. And that's what's allowed the Phillies to hang in there, I think, because I don't think the Phillies are quite as good as the other two if everybody's there and everybody's playing. Neither the Braves nor the Mets have been able to go off on a real good run, and it's probably not going to happen now.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Phillies, for me, may be the biggest disappointment in the league. I mean, to look at their starting staff and what they had, and they did go out and get Ian Kennedy and Gibson at the trade deadline. They've got a potential MVP in Harper. But, boy, they can't get out of their own way. The Marlins, Jesus Luzardo beat them. How about that?
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of holes in that offense. There have been a lot of disappointments. Of course, they lost Hoskins, which is huge offensively. Alec Bohm, who they thought was going to be their third baseman, ends up back in the minor leagues. He's just struggling. He struggled even more defensively. It was just killing them. They were willing. Joe Girardi was willing to wait out and try to get his offense going, but he just was costing them games with his defense, and they had to make a move there. Defensively, they're a bad team. And their bullpen, even with the addition of Kennedy, who's been fine, Gibson's been up and down in the rotation, but their bullpen is been really, really difficult for Girardi to kind of navigate, and he said it openly. It's not good enough, and that's the point. You know, all these teams in that division, if you go to their fans, they'll tell you what's wrong with their team. You know, that's kind of the way they look at it. It's almost like, oh no, can we get away with this one? Can we, you know, the Mets didn't hit for a long time and have now started a little bit. Oh, they're beating up on the Nationals. I don't know if that proves anything, but you know, it's that kind of division, and you know, the Phillies are a flawed team right now, and without the extra offense, it's going to be difficult.
You know, Paul, jumping into the NL Central, we just saw Milwaukee out here, very strong team. But now, within this last couple of days, Peralta just really didn't pitch well at all coming off the IL. Do you think Milwaukee's going to have problems with that starting staff moving forward?
Well, I think what they've got to do now, and Burns is getting beat today by St. Louis, I think they've got enough of a lead. They're going to win that division. I think it really becomes crucial for them to just take their time and get everybody set. If you got to give guys extra time between starts, go ahead and do it. Get Peralta right. Bring them along slowly. Make sure guys aren't tired because they've still got a real good bullpen. You know, the only question for Milwaukee at this point is and this is even a small question, is home advantage in series and the playoffs. They're going to have home advantage in the first round against the East winner. And then, you know, there's an outside chance if they run on a run, they could catch up to whoever wins the West. I doubt that's going to happen. So we kind of know where they're going to fall. So they can take their time and do that because they're not under a lot of pressure at this point.
Well, I like Atlanta. I still think
I agree with you. Yep.
When you look at they have six starters. They've got Matzik in the bullpen, and you know the bullpen's not great, but I think overall, But the Mets become interesting. Of course, you're right. They scored six in the ninth today, and they won 13-7 over Washington. But Lindor hit another home run today. Baez hit a home run today. Can you imagine what's going to happen press wise? If Lindor and Baez get on fire this last month after what they just went through?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they've kind of gotten through that. I've seen the Mets a lot in the last week or so, and I think they've kind of navigated that. In the Mets' minds, Lindor is the key here. Baez is a rental. He's gone. But you know, Lindor's there forever. So that's the guy they've got to make sure everything's okay with. And if you kind of watch how this has played out, it's sort of like they've made Baez the front guy for this whole thing with the thumbs down. It's like, okay, let him take the heat because he's gone anyway.
Yeah, good
You know,
point.
Paul, looking at the wild card for the National League, of course, yeah. You know, the Dodgers or the Giants, one or the other is going to have it. But who do you think's the next team? Who do you think who's hot right now? Because you're looking San Diego, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Matthew, you talk about all those teams. But who in your mind do you think's going to come out of that?
Well, I like San Diego the most right now, given the level of talent. And then I looked at the schedule. The Padres play the Angels twice this week, Tuesday and Wednesday. After that, the rest of their schedule is Dodgers, Giants, Cardinals, Braves. Every game, the rest of the way. While Cincinnati, 16 of their last 21 are against the Cubs, Pirates, and Nationals. So it's theirs to steal. It is. You talk about beating up on the bad teams and that's how you win. It's there for Cincinnati. The Padres are going to be hard-pressed to play 500 in September. I really like how they're playing. I think they got through their bad stretch early enough. You know, they kind of bottomed out and didn't play well. Pitching's coming back a little bit. The offense is starting to hit again. They've played well against Houston this weekend. They're winning again today. I like them right now, but that schedule scares me.
What about the Cardinals? Look at September baseball, and, you know, you look at the great Yastrzemski in 67 and Giambi and different player Jeff Kent, that just carried a team in September, and you've got Arenado and Goldschmidt right now hitting. O'Neill is hitting. You've got Molina catching, a pitching staff that maybe the bullpen will get a little better.
I was about to say, unless one of those guys is going to pitch the ninth inning, I think they got a problem.
Well, yeah, but, they're not – let's put it this way. They're close enough you know, Reyes is, if he's good, maybe twice a week instead of, once every 4 days, maybe they can get it done. But
Gallegos has pitched better recently, so which is huge. Do they have, they have the guts to kind of go against the grain and start pitching the matchups? And that could be crucial.
Well, look at Arenado and Goldschmidt, though. I mean, now, what does the Cardinals schedule look like? Because the Reds schedule is compelling, the way you described it. But you know something? For some reason, the Reds just can't put it together and win 10 in a row.
That's why I said I like the Padres better. I like them better right now. Cincinnati still has to prove to us they can go through and take advantage of that schedule. And they haven't done that this year. If you ask me to pick today, I'm still going to go with the Padres, because I think they've got more to play for. And the Cardinals' schedule is difficult the rest of the way. They've got four with the Dodgers coming up this week, and they've got the Reds next weekend, which is huge. Then they go Mets, Padres, Brewers, a series with the Cubs, Brewers again, and then they finish with the Cubs. So they've got two series with the Cubs of their last three series, but until that point, they've got a pretty tough schedule.
And the Cubs don't like them.
Exactly. Those games, that's like Dodgers-Giants if one of the teams isn't in the race. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, jumping over to the American League, it's pretty much separated again, and you start looking at the wild card, Yankees, Boston. Now, the team that's intriguing me is Seattle. They're only four games back. What do you think about the Mariners' chances of jumping in that wild card?
I just don't think they can play consistently enough. I mean, it's a real nice story. They're a mini version of the Giants over the American League. They're so much better than we thought they were going to be. And this is a stepping stone for a team that's going to continue to get better. I just don't think that they can put together a run, because I don't think their rotation is deep enough to do that. They've got some young guys who are going to be good. It's going to be tough for them, I think, to do that. I know Marty's going to agree. We've been talking about this all year. I'm still intrigued by the Blue Jays.
Yep, that's my team.
Yep. They pretty much made a statement against the A's all weekend. They just offensively hammered. Well, they got to make another statement. Their next four games are at Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
We're going to find out a lot real quick where the Blue Jays are, because they're playing a lot of games in the division in September, which is good because the Yankees and the Red Sox are the teams they got to catch, although they're done playing the Red Sox. But two of their last three series, seven games, are against the Orioles.
Wow. How about Marcus Semien?
The whole American League could come down to who plays the Orioles on any given day.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, what, 17-1 or something like that?
Exactly. They put that, and the Yankees, you know, I said the Padres kind of went through their rough stretch and may have gotten over it. Well, the Yankees may have gone through their good stretch, and now they're starting to.
You there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, okay. Lost you for a second. Yeah. Well, my team's the Blue Jays. I love Marcus Semien, what he's doing, and Guerrero. And I'm looking for the one guy who's going to have this crazy September to lift his team. Will it be Joey Votto? Will it be Goldschmidt? Will it be Arenado? Will it be Kyle Seager in Seattle who will go off the charts? Who knows? That's the big question.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. There is a guy. You know, there's some Yankee guys. I mean, certainly they've got the star quality guys. But again, they're one of those teams. Their bullpen coughed up a lead. They're down 8-7 to the Orioles today. They're not done yet. But they had a big lead. They brought in Andrew Heaney to pitch relief in, I don't know, sixth or seventh inning and got torched. You know, it's like, you know, there's still some warts there. So, and they're going to find themselves, if they make the playoffs, in a wild card game. And you know what a roll of the dice that is.
Yeah, Heaney is the home run machine. He's batting practice. Yeah, Bill, he's Heaney batting practice, right?
I would think so, boy. I tell you what, when you get guys hitting the ball as hard off him, it's just difficult for teams to even come back. But last one for me, Paul. White Sox for real? Do you think they got a chance to get to the World Series?
You know, I do. I think they have a chance. There's a lot of offense there, and they can shorten that pitching staff enough to make it a really good playoff pitching staff. You got, you know, Giolito's on the IL now. He's got to be healthy. That's huge for them because he can be the ace. You got veteran guys in that rotation. You know, Lance Lynn is huge for them. And now you've got that bullpen lined up. And Tony La Russa loves his bullpens. Well, he's got Kimbrough and he's got Hendricks. And you know, I saw them a couple weeks ago in Toronto, and they were struggling a little bit in the bullpen. And the thing that they can do with their lead is back off using those guys. See, that's what's killing Oakland right now. They're, you know, Trevino and some of the other guys are getting knocked around because we're into that area that we've been talking about all year, and we can't measure. How has last year affected relievers who have to keep going out there day after day after day? It's caught up to Oakland, I think. Chicago, the White Sox, can back off that and monitor those guys in September and have them ready for the postseason.
Boy, interesting. White Sox starting pitching has come apart a little bit. Rondon was hurt. Didn't Lynn have something too? I think Lynn.
Yeah, that's it. And Giolito's on the IL, but they've got that lead. Yeah. They can make sure to get everybody right.
Yep, and they got a great offense. I mean, offense.
Yeah.
Boy, great having you on, Paul. This is always fun, and we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks here because this September race is going to be fabulous. You're right. Giants-Dodgers today, whatever happens, it will happen. But after today, then the next 25, that's really the story. Great to have you. Thanks, Paul.
Right. Always fun, guys.
Boy, very good. Boy, that was fun, wasn't it, Bill?
I love that firing back and forth. He's sharp.
Isn't that good?
Boy,
yeah.
He is really sharp. And
I enjoy it.
But you know what, Marty? He's absolutely right. It's all about the schedules the last 3 weeks. Some teams have an easy schedule, like you just pointed out with the Reds. And then the other teams, Atlanta's got a tough schedule coming up here. And you know, St. Louis now is in the picture. So it's going to be fun. This is what's great about September baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, thank goodness we have it in a full season, too. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Kerry will join us. Bill and I will be back, and we'll talk a little more ball. We've got more coming up right here in KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.